Have you ever wondered how some houses look amazing and it's not just the styling team, it's kind of like all the little bits and pieces have gone in and made a house look great? Well, today we're going to speak to Andy Vance. So she is head of marketing and branding for Jealous Craig. And actually what that incorporates is all the campaign managements and all the touch points along the way. So we'll get her to explain that better. But she'll look after making sure that all the houses that are on the market are presented to the best of their ability. And some of the tips and tricks that she talks about, you might not actually think of, but it's all about bringing the emotion to the forefront and kind of getting someone to commit to their house and seeing their life in a new location. So stay tuned. I'm sure you're going to enjoy this one.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Krabeshni.
And welcome to Building with Builders,
our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry. And as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So to caveat this, we know each other quite well. Yes. So it's probably more of an informal chat, but I guess I've been following what you do since you sold an amazing house around the corner from one that I was building. And I was like, how come they got so much?
It seems like such a long time ago, but yes, that was the beginning of our journey in real estate and ended up being the catalyst for me now working in real estate, which was really exciting.
Yeah, so raw talent poached clearly from a different life and different world. Tell us now what you're doing. So what is a campaign manager or a marketing and branding manager of?
Okay, so my role is quite unique in real estate, which is what I've realized, because not all agencies have my role. So I work for the three offices in the Inner North Group, the Jealous Craig Inner North Group. So it's the Brunswick office, the Northcote office, and the Fitzroy office.
So they're agencies of Melbourne, Victoria.
Yes, that's right. And I suppose my role is ultimately to make sure that all of the properties that we're bringing to market are looking their absolute best. I think it's also a client services role in that, as you would know, moving house is quite an emotional experience. And I think that our agency saw the need for someone to basically hold people's hand through that process. So my role is in marketing and brand management, but also just making sure that our vendors are feeling comfortable and they're feeling like they're in control in what can feel like a really out of control experience.
Yeah, so taking that from the vendor's point of view, often what happens in real estate is you get the agent who's super nice to you until you sign that you'll sell with them, and then they tell you all the things that are wrong about your house and manage that relationship in a way until you either sell or don't sell. So that can be really confronting and really stressful.
Absolutely, it can be really daunting.
And especially in a busy market, even though they're working for you, the time spent on the phone to you is not best used, right? So they're best spending their time speaking to potential purchasers, getting people through the door, but getting all of the people that could potentially want your house in there. So that means that sometimes those conversations with you and your their client selling the house can drop by the wayside because it's not the best use of their...
Absolutely. The best use of the real estate agent is to be finding the buyer and to be obviously working on the houses that have already been listed. So my role is to meet the vendor and assess the home, talk to them about what we feel would be the best way to present their home for sale. And sometimes that can be quite a tricky conversation, but it's about that transition from when you first think about selling your home and moving, and then getting to the point where you're moving out. And I think that it's actually part of that transition and that feeling okay that, you know, it's a process and it can be difficult, but also it is getting you to that end result, and that is selling your home.
Yeah. And so let's be perfectly honest here. At no point does anyone live in a house the way you should live in it when it's listed for sale. It's just not what people do. It's kind of that ideal, but it takes away some of the stuff. So most of us, when we're in a home, we've got a little bit here that needs to be painted, or we should have fixed that up, or maybe that color's dated, or the couch is not quite the right size, or it's got a big stain in it, or, you know, or the rug does, or there's something, right?
So the way we live in a house and the way we sell a house are quite different. So we're making the house look its absolute best for market. And often part of my job is to go in and assess who is the market audience for this house? Like, who is going to buy this house potentially? So obviously there's lots of different demographics that are going to buy a property for different reasons, but ultimately we want to market it to who we think will be the buyer. So is it a family home? Is it an investor's home? Is it a young professional couple? So then we look at the home, and we also look at, you know, what the vendor currently has in that home. And we look at whether we can supplement some of the furniture that they already have, or whether we need to do an overhaul and take everything out. And I guess my relationship too is with all of the different stylists. There's so many different stylists in Melbourne, and all of them have a different look. They all have a different strength, I suppose. And it's my job to assess which stylist is going to be the best for this house, because not every house is the same. We try not to do a cookie cutter approach. We treat every house individually, and we look at who is going to buy this property and who are the best people to come in and help us style it. And, yeah, and what are the things that we
needs,
can do?
Needs, aren't they? Who buys that house? So I guess it's kind of like dressing up for maybe a wedding day. There's this whole kind of stuff that needs to happen beforehand where you're sending out invites, you're doing all this stuff leading you to one day, and on that one day, well, in this case, that one day might be 6 weeks. And it's quite different all over the world, the different ways to you style property. And I think Melbourne is actually one of the leaders in presentation of property. So if you're listening in from somewhere else, there's a lot of things from here that you could learn about and kind of implement. But you're basically putting your best look on, your best outfit, your best of everything. And we also know that, you know, people don't always look their very best every day. It's the same for houses. So we want you to kind of shine. You need experts to do that. So we don't do our own makeup on our wedding day. We don't style our own homes for our sale day, unless you're particularly gifted. But even then, you're in your space too much to actually see it. So those fresh eyes kind of coming through. And so when you're looking at a house, let's say one of your agents has listed a house, they'll call you in if it's a house that you're going to work on, and you'll go through a walkthrough with the owner?
I go for a walkthrough with the owner. We talk about, you know, what their plan is during the campaign as well. Some people decide to move out, and then other people decide to live in the property. So that can influence how we style the property, and it can influence, you know, what works are going to be done as well. I think that fresh pair of eyes when you walk in is often interesting for a vendor, because like I just said, you know, the way that we live in a house and the way we sell a house are really different. And when someone walks through the door, and I'm always looking at it from the perspective of the photograph as well. So I work with the photographer and the videographer, and I'm constantly looking at the angles of the room that are possibly going to be taken for the campaign. So where furniture placement is, and where there is an artwork, or where there is a rug, or, you know, where we soften spaces and where we, you know, change around furniture, is all, it all hinges on the photography as well.
Yeah. And part of that is kind of knowing what those emotional triggers are. So, you know, I know that one of the things that you normally do is you remove kind of personal photos and photo walls, because what that stops people doing is putting themselves into the house, because they already see someone else in the house. Yes. And so it's not that we don't love the photos and we don't want there to be that emotional connection, but you just kind of, you're limiting their ability to see potential. And so what you're doing is trying to bring the potential out of the house and for as many people as possible to make that connection and want to be there.
Yes. So we take a lot of the personal away so that people can see themselves living in the house. And we also take away, which, you know, can be quite amusing, is when I often walk into a laundry and I'll say, we need to take the washing basket away, or we're going to take the clothes rack away from that little spot there. And often too, we take televisions away because televisions can dominate photographs and they restrict where we put furniture. It's, you know, a television is not dissimilar to the, you know, fireplace of 100 years ago where everybody sits around the fireplace or everybody sits around the television. If we take that television away, we open up a space for an artwork, and people now don't necessarily watch television. They're often like using devices to watch their programs and stuff. So,
or in their ideal world, or best version of themselves, they might, depending on your area, their best version of themselves might not have time for TV, or might be too learned and want to read a book. But I guess you're just allowing that best picture to be. And so obviously there's the declutter, right? And that is real because you don't feel at ease when you're in a house with clutter. You need spaces for your eye to rest, mm-hmm. and a sense of calm, mm-hmm. and, you know, perfectly styled things work, but not clutter. So how do you manage that conversation?
I guess ultimately what you want is for someone to walk into the home and for them to feel like, this is how I want to live. This is where I want to live because this feels so amazing. It's all about that emotion and how you feel when you're in the space. And if your eye is drawn to boxes of toys over in the corner, or the washing hanging on a washing line in the other corner, or you've got pots and pans all over the bench, or you've got suitcases all over the top of the wardrobes, all of those things are triggering to all of the stuff that you've got at home. So I guess it's that delineation between how you feel when you walk back into your own home after you've just been looking at houses, and you walk back in and go, oh, I want to be back in that space. I want to feel calm about, you know, how.
Yeah, because that house needs to be the solution to their problem, and their problem needs to be the house that they're in. Yeah. And you're also drawing them to all the effort that it takes to move all of that stuff. Yes. And stuff feels heavy for people. Mm-hmm. And so by lightening it up and removing kind of stuff, you give them a picture of what life could be if they were rid of that weight.
Absolutely. It's inspiring. And ultimately, when you style a home for sale, we're wanting to inspire the market. We want them to feel amazing when they're in it and ultimately want to bid on that auction.
Yeah. And to really fight for their house to be this best version.
Absolutely. But sometimes too, I think there's some homes that really lend themselves to sort of a big gallery wall with lots of artwork. And I find it exciting when we actually go into homes where the vendor has actually got a really eclectic art collection, or they've got a great couch and they've coupled it with a really lovely mid-century sideboard. And then we're able to use a lot of their stuff. And one of the things I really like about these homes is that there's a really soulful feeling when you are using vendors' furniture or artwork. So that, again, is part of that assessment that I make, is when I come in, I am constantly looking at how we can keep some of the vendors' furniture if possible, because I think that that really is a motive when people walk in. I know the houses that I've looked at when we've been on the market for a home, the ones that I really resonate with are the ones where I can feel that lovely energy, that soulful energy that someone has really loved this home and lived in it. And even though I'm not seeing their photographs on the sideboard, I'm also getting the feel that they've been to a flea market and they've loved that vase, or they've, you know, they haven't just styled it for the sale, but there's still pieces in there.
Yeah, but I think that's that cookie cutter, and you see all these styling pieces all the time, and it's like going to a furniture showroom. You don't buy the entire showroom because it feels like you've just taken that showroom and you've put it in your house, and it doesn't feel right. But that collection over time, and this living collection and understanding of this person has loved these things and spent time curating these items which they love. So I'm a fan of the part style, actually. Not a lot of people do them.
It's becoming more and more common, the partial style as opposed to the full style.
So explain what a part style is.
So a partial style is when we go in and we utilize the vendor's own furniture and art pieces, and then a full style would be when the whole house is cleared and then we bring in a furniture company that will just style the whole home. And a lot of the stylists that we use, we try to use stylists that are using different pieces. They're using different artworks and not just this generic sort of clinical bring it in, drop it. We try to, you know, really look at the home and look at how we can utilize a stylist that's going to have all of those wonderful things.
Hard game for a stylist, but we will get a stylist in actually to speak to us about how to keep up with that. And I know we both know people that are stylists, so I think one of them would be great to have a chat to about what they do when they're assessing a house from that level. But it's more than just styling and coordination that you're doing as well, because styling is one part of it. But a lot of houses have things that maybe need change. So in extreme cases, you'll move a wall. I've seen you do things like that. Yes. You'll retile. Yes. Bathrooms, you'll fix up kind of paint colors, and that doesn't mean paint it all white either. No. That means kind of make it, I'm thinking of that one on, was it Cunningham or McLaughlin, that you did a really beautiful kind of style and paint on. You might fix up floors, you might do gardens, but you're putting a sense of character back in, and you're kind of fixing any of those niggling problems that are going to put off a purchaser or stop them from being able to see potential. Mm. So sometimes you might walk into a house and there's a wall between the lounge room and the kitchen and you're like, well, okay, but if this was gone, this space would feel so much bigger. So you're, I guess, making that assessment what to spend, where it's best, and what that value and return, because if you're selling a house, it's about your return on investment.
I think that that is the biggest part of my role, is to walk in and assess the property and make an assessment of how the vendor can spend the least amount of money to get the maximum return. And I think that what you were just saying then, with just quick tweaks to, I think splashbacks is one of them that we often will change up a splashback. A splashback can date quite quickly. Changing the splashback can make a big difference. Changing the bench top can make a big difference. You know, we often walk into homes and, you know, the cupboard doors in the kitchen are a darker colour. So lightening up that kitchen can make a big difference to how people feel when they walk in, and also make the space feel a lot bigger. Feature walls, often we will paint over the feature wall just to open up the room a little bit more. Ultimately, it's to make it open to lots of markets. And also I think too, more and more people want that turnkey solution. When they're buying a home, they want to feel like they can walk in, they can drop their bags, and they can live there for a while until they've worked out what they're going to do if it's a home that could potentially be renovated. And I think that if we give that inspiration at the beginning of a campaign, then we have more people through the door, and the photos are better. That's the dangling carrot to get people through the door. So that's ultimately why we do what we do.
And I know this isn't a role that a lot of real estate agents have. In fact, I think, you know, I'm very lucky to have worked with you on a few, and I'll just go back to that lovely comment one day, because some of the comments that you have to make are pretty harsh.
I have to be very diplomatic.
You're very diplomatic. I'm pretty sure you told me that actually this wasn't Northcote Nursery, and could I please remove about half of those plants? Lovely. Very diplomatic. Love it. No. Have forgotten it. Clearly moved on.
I think it's that less is more. Like, it's the same as when, you know, Coco Chanel says you should get dressed to go out and then look in the mirror and you take one thing off. And I think it's the same when you walk into a home that's getting ready to be sold, is you'll often walk into the room and if you just take a couple of things away, in your case plants, it can just change the feel again. It's just that second set of eyes walking into the house and seeing how they feel and then just taking one thing away.
Yeah, but it's really kind of being in charge of, actually, I know what I'm doing. I spend all day looking at houses. I spend all day speaking to clients and I understand this process. So I'm going to help you through it because it's really stressful.
Yes, I think it's a great service for a real estate agent to offer, particularly if you've got a family. Like, getting a house ready for sale is stressful, but if someone can sit there and map out how that's going to be done, and that is, this is the assessment, this is what we're going to do, and then we break it down into a quote for the trade works that needs to be done. We bring in the furniture stylist, if it's a partial or a full style, they do the quote. I talk with the external stylist to talk about, how they're going to style the home. And then we go from there. And then we also offer a service where we will recommend storage facilities, cleaners, window cleaners, removalists, you name it. Yeah, all the people you need to help you through that journey. And I think it's an incredible weight off people's shoulders. I've been through it. I know what it's like to sell a house. I've got four children. So I know what it's like to sell a house and make sure no one is eating those shiny Granny Smith apples that are sitting in the bowl over there. And it's hard. It's super hard.
That cake was baked for the open.
I know. I just remember when we sold our house, we just had it painted and the hallway, you know, was just shiny and polished and lovely. And I just watched my children walk down the hallway with their hands out like little birds, just like wiping their little fingers across the wall. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe
it. Do you know what else did? They took a marker because John works on the building site, so he's always got those permanent black markers. She took a marker and she started at the front of the house on the corridor and ran the hallway down and then turned around and ran the hallway back up.
Well, at least it was consistent.
We banged out the bottom half of the hallway. No, but like all of this is really overwhelming and really daunting. You've got to get everything looking its absolute best because you understand that we want this to be as best as possible, but we're all running full-time jobs. We've got kids pickups, drop-offs. We've got appointments. We've got life, work, everything else. And then you're throwing this on top and you should probably leave yourself a good at least month to get ready.
Yeah.
So from the moment you go, okay, I'm going to get on the market, a good house normally takes about a month because you need to photograph 10 days out normally, hopefully, if you've got time, from when you hit the market to launch a good campaign. You've got to write copy. You've got to time your opens and you've got to time your campaign so you're not hitting with public holidays and you're not clashing with too many things. You've got to then get everything out of the house, feel like you're in control. And so having someone come in and go, okay, well, here are the steps. And we don't do it every day. I mean, I do it every year and that's still quite daunting for me. I'm like, oh, my God.
Because nobody presses pause on your life when you're selling a house. Like life keeps going. I think it's the same with a renovation. Like, you know, no one presses pause and you just have to keep the cogs turning while you've got this other whole life bubbling away on the other side. I've been in this role now for 5 years, and when I first started, there was maybe a question mark. You could probably get away with not styling your home for sale, but now I would advise strongly against it. I think that, you know, you give your house the best possible chance, and it's mainly because it shows up in your images and people are just inundated with images now. Like even in the 5 years that I've been in the industry, we have got so many interior images in front of our face every day. We have so many just on Instagram and on Facebook. And I think what you need to sell your home is an image that's going to make someone stop. It's the thumb stop to make them look at your property. And I think styling really does assist with that and translates into the images, translates into the sale.
Yeah, and you need that kind of all-star team at the top of their game. I mean, you know, we spoke a couple of weeks ago to Dylan, who's a photographer that we use, and I'd encourage you, if you're going to sell your house, go back and have a listen to that because I still see it all the time. The photographs are not right for the space. They're not showing it. They're not stopping people in their tracks, and those images are really what gets people through the door. And then when they're in the door, then they've got to fall in love with the spaces and they've got to overcome all the many things that need to happen. And then they've got to speak to the agent on the price and the loan broker. And their life hasn't stopped either because they've decided to move house. So they've got to fit all of that on top. So you really have to make the house feel as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm. Simple. And most people will see the home that they're going to buy on a handheld device first up. They'll be looking through realestate.com or they'll be looking through Domain and they're going to see that property come up. So that's what you're aiming for. That's what you get. That's how we get people through the door. And then once they get there, it's that feeling that they feel. It's the calmness. It's the, I want to be this person. I want to live this life. I love the art. I want, you know, I've heard people say, I don't only want the house. I want these people's lives. Like this is just, so you're selling I don't know, you're selling an inspiration, you're selling a dream ultimately. And I think styling really assists with that.
Yeah. Looking at that, there's 5 years of experience of seeing what sold really well, what changes made and how people reacted to those changes and what the least amount that you can do. An agent's trying to get your house on the market as quickly as possible because let's not forget that they're incentivized to sell. Yeah, they get paid when you sell. So they want to move you through that. So having all of the different consultants to line up, they've also got all the contractors. So I don't know if you've ever tried to, you know, build a fence or do something like that. You've got to get 3 different fence people in and then they're all going to look at the house and then they've all got to give you a quote, whereas you've already got access to those people really that are competing lucky. And, you know.
Yeah, we're really lucky with the trades and the suppliers that we work with because they all work with real estate agents, so they know how quickly. I mean, we can turn houses around in 4 days and that's with an internal paint and a new
fence. Bank on that. Give yourself more time. Get ahead of the game. Don't bank on that, but you could if you really had to, but why would you have to? So make sure you plan for it.
Absolutely. Do it in 4 days. But yeah, look, it's the biggest game changer for a home is a paint job. A coat of paint can just change a house completely. I've seen houses where I've just are unrecognizable on the street because of a new coat of paint and a trimmed tree. Like, it is just quite phenomenal. And one of my favorite parts of this role is when an agent goes and lists the house and then I will come in and, you know, help the vendor get it ready. And then they will drive past it because they just can't believe that it's the same house that they walked into. So that's exciting. That's really good.
So let's just bang out or like list off rapid fire some of the many changes you can make to prepare your house for the best selling, right?
Mm-hmm. So
I'm going to go with you. We're going to go one for one. We're going to see how far we get.
Okay, cool.
Ready? It's a game.
Okay.
I want to win. Let's see how we go.
I would say paint.
Okay. Clearing the front garden.
Splashback.
Removing furniture.
Floorboards, polished floorboards.
Changing the layout of a room.
Changing the curtains.
Tidying up the deck.
Oh, you're killing me. Sanding up the deck and outdoor settings to show the space outside.
Adding greenery.
Take the TV out.
Remove curtains that are too heavy.
I just said that.
Curtains? You said curtains. Did she say curtains? I'm out. You didn't say curtains. Did you say curtains? Oh. I lost. I don't like losing. Anyway, but there's things like removing luggage, taking the stuff off all the benches, picking the right furniture for the right scale, making sure the rugs are clean and tidy. Fresh paint, cleaning, really good clean, like a really good,
deep clean is deep important. People often say to me too, this is another quick tip, will people look in my cupboards? If the cupboard is not a fixture or it's a chest of drawers and it's not built in, they will not look in it. But if it is a built-in cupboard, they will look in it. And I often say to people who are selling, clean out the cupboard. It doesn't have to be completely empty, but just thin it out so it doesn't look like you've packed everything in your house into the cupboard, because that is a trigger for people to start looking for storage.
Oh yeah, I would normally say remove half of your hanging stuff.
Yeah, totally. And walk-in robes are big on that, because walk-in robes can carry a lot, but you want to thin it out because you want to make people see that they can fit their stuff there. They might have a bigger suitcase than you. They might have children's clothes that they're passing down and that sort of thing. So you want to make space for things that they've got in their head.
Yeah, I would always do that. I would color block. I would make sure everything is neat. I'd Marie Kondo that thing. And just removing stuff, it'll actually make you feel a lot better about life. And there are services that you can put things, taxi boxes, storages. Yeah. But you know what? Once you've lived without it, what you might find is that you can live without it and your life might also be better without these
things. That's the other thing that I find really rewarding about the role is you start this process with a vendor, and often I go into houses where there is a lot of stuff because, you know, people don't always cull. So, you know, you've got houses that have got a lot of stuff, years and years of stuff. And one of the loveliest parts of the job is at the end of the process, seeing how people are feeling themselves. Their house feels amazing, but the vendors also feel amazing because it's like they've just had a nice little, I don't know, cleanse. Like it's a, it's just this.
Yeah, and then they'll go, oh, actually, I think I've decided not to sell.
I know, they do. People do do that. That is a fact. People do. They say, oh, I want to live here myself. I don't want to buy a new house. But I guess that's what you want. That's the ultimate.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Andy. If you want to have a look more about what she's doing there, all the properties, Jealous Craig Inner North has your products, and you can have a look at her bio on that. But we're also going to get Andy back in a few weeks to talk to us about, I guess, your renovation journey. And it's a really interesting one, from a finished house to an unfinished one, and a very unique property, and the way, you know, even when you're in the know and you've got all the connections, it can still be maybe
daunting.
So stay tuned for that, because it's really interesting and maybe a lesson for a few of you out there. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Building with Build Her. We'd love for you to spread the word.
For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's Build Her with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.